Our scripture reading today will be taken from Philippians 3, if you'd open your Bibles there, please. And we will be looking at verses 12 to 14 today as we continue on. Now, Paul said, I want to know the Lord. I want to know his power. I want to attain to the out resurrection, the out from the dead resurrection, which I understand that to mean he's saying, I want to get out of here before that out of the dead resurrection. I want to be raptured. And so I'm pursuing Christ-likeness in view of that. And then he says in verse 12, not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of those inspired words and the exposition later. Our Father, we gather here at church today to worship you and learn about you. And when we come to this text, we are confronted with the goal that we are to pursue that which is after winning the prize for the pursuit of Christ-likeness. And with that as our ultimate goal, we begin by asking you for thy amazing grace and help. If Paul had not arrived, we sure haven't. And frankly, we bow before thee in desperate need of your assistance in reaching that goal. We live in a tough world that tugs at our hearts. We face a crafty enemy who knows how to come at us in deadly ways. We need your help to make it to that finish line a winner. And we pray that you would give us all discerning minds. May we not be lured away from a prize-winning path ever. May our lives and our lips reflect your grace. Grant us the wisdom to be focused on the eternal, not the temporal. And may we have a heavenly mindset that radiates thy heavenly light in this very dark world. Lord, this book of Philippians has been just eye-opening. It's not easy to esteem others better than ourselves. It's not easy to see the nothingness of ourselves and the rottenness of our own flesh. But to win, that's what we must see, and that's how we must think. And we ask that your grace would enable us to do just that. Lord, it's our desire to finish winners. We do not want to be ashamed when this life is over. So I pray that you would grant us all victory according to your grace, and we pray that you would use a text just like this one to help accomplish that goal. It's tough in church, Lord, to see our people age and go through difficult times physically. We think back 10, 15 years ago, and they were there in all their vibrancy, and yet you see them age, and Lord, this is tough. I pray that you would come get us soon, come get us today, that we would be raptured today. But if that is not your desire today or your will today, we do pray that you would continue to meet with all of your people, and I especially pray for those of our flock who are ailing, and we think of Betty today. We're grateful that she was able to get to the hospital and that they are being able to treat this heart attack issue. We would ask that you would intervene in her life and that you would raise her up. But Lord, in all reality, you're the sovereign God. There's not much we can do except ask you for your grace. And we pray that you would minister your grace to all of your people today in whatever need they have. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd open your Bibles, please, to Philippians 3. A few weeks ago, there was some talk in the educational world of making high school students state their goals in life so that they may be directed to the proper education that will fit the goals. Now, one question I have is how many high school students actually know what they're ultimately going to do? I think the girls probably have a better perspective than the boys, but frankly, I don't think too many actually end up where they initially thought they were going to end up in those high school years. But let's suppose that this is what happens. Let's suppose that in your senior year of high school, some counselor sit you down and says, well, where are you headed and what are your goals? In fact, let's open that up not only to high school seniors, but to all people of all ages. If that's the question of everyone, what are your goals? Where are you headed? I doubt that the vast majority of people would say, well, my goal in life is to pursue Christ-likeness. In fact, I don't ever remember hearing anything like that when it comes to New Year's resolutions. I don't even remember saying that myself, quite frankly. I've not heard too many people say, my goal for this new year is to be so devoted to Jesus Christ that God will actually give me a prize for that. The only person I know of who actually did say that and actually did mean it was the Apostle Paul. It's very clear that Paul's goal in life was Christ-likeness. It was not some resolution he made once a year. I mean, that was the pursuit of his entire existence. His one goal in life was to understand the Word of God and so dedicate himself to Jesus Christ that he would accomplish everything in life that God wanted him to accomplish, with the end result being, I win the prize. That fact that God called him and saved him and gifted him seemed to drive him to that objective. That was the goal Paul had for his life. That was the goal he wanted for the people of the church of Philippi, and that's the goal God wants for us. You can't help but see that when you look at these verses. I mean, what these verses say is the believer who's going to reflect the high calling of God and win the prize is one that will be continually pursuing a Christ-likeness that presses on through everything. Paul's goal in life was Christ-likeness. Every day for Paul was a day to pursue that prize. Every day for him was to pursue that high calling in Christ. Every day was a day where he would focus on winning. When he gets before the Lord, he wanted the same type of focus for the Philippians. And these verses give us a pretty interesting personal look on how a prize winner operates. I mean, these verses tell us that any believer who's going to win the prize of God someday has to kind of apply these qualities. And by the way, before we even attempt this, let me say this. If you're going to pursue the goal of winning the prize before God, you have to be in the race. Or we could say it another way, you have to be on the field. Paul said, I was laid hold of by Jesus Christ. God saved me and put me in the race. So if you're here today and you've never believed in Jesus Christ, you're not in the race. You can't win. To win the prize, you have to be on the team. You have to be in the field of play. You have to be in the race. And Paul said there are three prize-winning qualities that will be in the life of a believer who will win the prize. Prize-winning quality number one, the prize-winning quality of honest, personal evaluation. Paul said in verse 12, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect. If one is going to finish a prize winner, we're going to have to honestly evaluate ourselves. And the first quality is realism. The believer who will win the prize is one who will honestly and realistically take a look at his own life, his own spiritual condition, and will admit, I haven't arrived there yet. I have not arrived at Christ-likeness, I have not arrived at a complete level of maturity. The Apostle Paul clearly admits it. I mean, that's where he begins this. He said, I want you to know I've not already obtained what I'm shooting for. And that verb obtain is aorist, which means there's not been any point of time yet when I see myself as having arrived at the goal. I'm not in Christ's likeness in a perfected way. When he says, I haven't obtained it, he means I haven't laid hold yet of this Christ likeness I'm after. I'm after that, but I haven't arrived yet. That's my desire, Paul says. My desire is to know Christ. My desire is to know the will of God. My desire is to know the Word of God so intimately that I'll be a prize winner. But to this point, Paul says, I haven't arrived at that level. Now, Paul at this point is, my goodness, 30 years down the road in his Christian life. So what we learn here is this race is going to be a long one. This race to win this prize is going to be a long, enduring race, not a short sprint. He said, I haven't obtained it yet, and I don't consider myself yet to be perfect. He says that. I've not become perfect. I haven't reached perfectionism. I haven't reached some state where I no longer struggle. I haven't accomplished and fulfilled everything perfectly. That was the problem with John Wesley. John Wesley started teaching you could reach some level of perfectionism in life that Paul didn't even believe. And that's what caused George Whitefield to say, you know what, I really have to break off fellowship with you because your theology is just whacked. And Whitefield wrote him a letter and said, well, I'm glad that you think you've reached this level because I sure haven't. And if Paul hadn't obtained perfection, you can be sure we haven't obtained it. Now, when a biblical writer uses that word perfect, it's never used to describe sinless perfectionism. I mean, the only person who's ever been on this earth who was sinlessly perfect was the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, the rest of us, every prize winner thinks this way. Prize-winning believers see themselves honestly. They're not walking around in some pseudo life of pharisaical legalism and self-righteousness. They're not proud. They're not arrogant. They always see, I've got more work to do. There's more I need to grow. They see themselves as at times failures. Paul, late in life, before he died, said, I'm the chief of sinners. He saw himself as somewhat of a failure. That's the way prize winners think. They realize there's always room for more prayer, more grace, more biblical knowledge, more development, more service, more study. Well, they haven't arrived yet. They think that way. That's the way prize winners are. You know, sometimes you bump into believers and they use their past heritage or service for making a claim to their spirituality. Prize winners don't do that. Prize winners are always working on things because they realize we haven't arrived yet. That's Paul. That's what makes him a prize winner. He thinks that way. The second quality is the prize-winning quality of proper Christ-like pursuit. He says in verse 12, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Although Paul said, I haven't reached a complete level of Christ's likeness yet, that is what I am pursuing. He said, I press on toward that. I'm pursuing that. And that verb pursue, verse 12, and again in verse 14, means I'm after this with speed. I'm focused. I'm eagerly pursuing this. This was a actual word that was used to describe intense action of runners in Greek games, focused. Paul says, I'm pursuing with rapid speed the goal of laying hold of Christ Jesus. I want to lay hold of him. I want to seize hold of him, comprehend him, apprehend him. I want to discover him and grasp him at the highest possible level. We're speaking here of intense mental pursuit. What Paul's saying here is, I don't consider myself to have arrived yet. I don't consider myself to be at the ultimate level of Christ's likeness, but I'm after it. That's what I'm shooting for. Jesus Christ pursued me and tracked me down. Look at his theology. I didn't ask for this. I wasn't even seeking Christ. I was out pursuing Christians to track them down, but Christ tracked me down, and now I'm pursuing Christ's likeness, which is after him. You know, you bump into some believers now and then, and they'll say, well, the main thing's they're saved. Really? That's a great thing, they're saved. Is that the main thing? No, I'd say the main thing is your pursuit after you're saved. That's the main thing for the believer. Being saved is just one moment. Pursuing Christ, that's a lifetime. I'd say that that goal after one believes in the Lord takes precedent over about anything else. And that's the way Paul saw it. Which brings us to the third quality, the prize-winning quality of proper mental attitudes. Verse 13, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. There's no doubt that a key to Paul's amazing spiritual life is the way he thought. He thought in right ways, biblical ways. He thought in right ways about himself. He thought in right ways about his goals. He thought in right ways about where he was at in his own spiritual life. He didn't consider himself as having arrived, but he pursued his goal of Christ's likeness, and he intensely went after that goal. And that noun goal refers to the target. That was Paul's target. That was his goal. He was after winning the prize for reaching the goal. That's what he wanted. What we could say here is Paul was a goal-oriented person, but his goals were eternal goals, not temporal goals. Paul was zeroed in on Christ-like development, and he had a maturity in the crosshairs that was in his mind. He was focused on getting there to help him reach the goal. And there are two important attitudes that he had. He starts it off by qualifying it by saying, there's one thing I do. There is one thing I do. And there are two attitudes that he launches into. He said, first of all, I have an attitude about me that forgets the past. Paul says, I refuse to let the past affect my present pursuit. The person who will win the prize is one who learns how to forget the past. The word forget's an interesting word. It means to just neglect it in your mind. You don't focus on it. You don't dwell on it. I'll tell you, this goes against almost all counselors' advice. One of the best counseling verses in all the Word of God. But counselors will tell you, let's relive your past. Let's go as far back as we can go. Let's get together, you pay me a fee, and then we'll just dredge up the past and we'll dwell on it. When we get done with this session, I'll put you on antidepressant drug. They'll sit you down. They'll try to get you to hash out your past. Let's talk about how things were when you were a child. Boy, you must have had a lousy childhood. That's why you're the way you are. Let's talk about what happened in your teen years. Let's rehash that. And then let's bring it up into your adult years. Look, even with a guy like Paul, everybody has closets. You don't want to spend time in the closets. I don't want to spend time in my closet. Certainly don't want to spend time in yours. Paul says, forget it. Forget it. And I'm here to tell you, in light of the Word of God, that many believers are going to miss the goal. They're going to miss out on real spiritual maturity and development because they are stuck in the past. And that's where they live. You know, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. That's where he wants you. Stuck in the past. Thinking about it. Let your mind think on the past. Paul said, you forget it. There are past memories that if you let them, they'll paralyze you. Let your mind dwell on past crud, and it will dominate your life, and you won't win. You'll never win. You'll go to your counselor, and you'll talk about the past, and you'll rehash the past. Your past will handicap you. You'll probably end up on some drug. What it's going to cost you is the prize of God in heaven. You need to know that. Now, there are some that aren't going to win because they won't admit the past, because until you admit the past, you can't ever go forward, and they won't admit the past until they get before the Lord. Then, of course, they will. But those who have admitted what the past is, then get over it and go on. Think about this. Could you forgive someone if they came to you and said, I'm sorry, could you forgive them? I think if you're an honest Christian, you would say, yeah, I can forgive them if they come to me and make it right. Well, then how come you can't forgive yourself? Why is that? Bishop Mull, who wrote a commentary on Philippians, said, we must remember this is in the context of a foot runner who wants to win the race. The context is a racing context. In order to win an award at any foot race, in order to win an award at any distance, you must totally forget about your previous accomplishments or missteps. You have to forget your dusty trophies and fading memories. You must totally focus on the task at hand, which is run the race in order to win it. And when Paul says he forgets the things behind, he means, I don't live in the past. I don't dwell on that stuff. You never find Paul looking back on past successes or failures. You don't find Paul looking back on previous accomplishments or relying on fading laurels. Paul's view is, I'm here today, I'm running now. After 30 years of very successful ministry, most would call it quits and retire. Not Paul. He said, I'm still running to win this thing. F.B. Meyer, the British minister of the late 1800s and early 1900s, said, we must learn to forget two things if we're going to press on and win the prize. First of all, we must forget our past accomplishments. We have to learn that. Some of the most deadly words you'll ever hear a Christian say is, I used to. I used to. There are some people, they live in the past. That's where they're always living. Their idea is, well, I did that once for God. Back then I accomplished something. They're living on past laurels. God used me back then when? You may have a great past. It's not the issue. What are you doing in the present? That's the issue. So you have to learn to forget past accomplishments, and you also have to learn to forget your past sins. If you have dealt with your sin before the Lord, if you've come clean of it, if you've confessed it, if you have tried everything you can to make it right, then forget it. It's under the blood, forget it. And go on for the glory of God. Because if you just want to sit there and simmer on your past failures, you're never going to win the prize. I love something the old teacher Jerome said. Put the past out of your mind. As F.B. Meyer said, there are things in each of our past for which we are ashamed. But if we've confessed them and handed them over to God, forget them and move on. There's no sense dwelling on past failures. You can't change the past, so move out of it. We'll not finish a prize winner if we live in the past. Our children and our college students are back in school, and a good illustration of this is a student who has to take an exam. You can't rely upon what you did last semester. You can't rely on successes or failures. Maybe you aced an exam, maybe you failed an exam. You can't rely on that past exam for anything. You want to earn the prize of a high grade for a course, you have to focus here and now. It's the way it is. So it is with the prize of God. Prize winners can't live in the past. By the way, you can't really forget the past sins if you're still doing them. That can be a problem. I mean, if you're still doing the same stuff, how are you going to forget it? The idea is forget it and go on for the glory of God. So there are two champion forgetful things that the believer will have who wins the prize. They'll forget their past accomplishments. They'll forget their past sins. And the second mental attitude is the attitude of reaching to the future. Both participles, forgetting and reaching forward, are present tense middle voice participles. What that technically means is every single believer in and of himself, middle voice, has the responsibility to pursue this continual action, present tense. So you have a responsibility to forget the past and reach forward, stretch forward toward the prize of the high calling in Christ. See, this is what made Paul so dynamic. He just didn't live in the past. He didn't think about the past. He's reaching out to the future. He's focused on winning the prize. I don't like people that bring up things about the past. It bothers me. Satan's the accuser of the brethren. Sometimes people will be talking, well, when I was back then, I don't want to hear that. Yeah, we've all done stuff back then. That's a given. Get out of that rut. Paul said, my goal is to be like the Lord, and what I want to do is I want to forget the past, what's behind. I want to reach forward and press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God that's found in Christ Jesus. As I said before, I used to run races competitively, and I learned that if you're going to win, you've got to stay focused. You can't be worrying about everybody else. You can't worry about what this guy's running, what this guy's running. You have to be focused on your own race. And if you have to focus on what you're doing, what the pace of your life is on, what your speed is, it's about you running your own race if you want to win the prize. And that's the way it is for Paul. He said, I want every believer in and of themselves focused on themselves. Paul said, I am. I forget the things that are behind and I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call in Christ. As the song says, it would be true for Paul to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. All I ask is to be like him. All through life's journey from earth to glory, all I ask is to be like him. For Paul, that was true. How about it for us? Let's pray. If you've never believed in Jesus Christ, in order to pursue the prize, you have to be in the field of play. And to be in the field of play means you have to believe in Jesus Christ. If you've never done that right where you sit, just settle that. Just invite Christ to be your Savior, admitting the truth that you're a sinner like the rest of us. Our Father, this is a sober passage to study. It's intimidating in many ways, but it's also encouraging also in many ways, because we see that Paul recognized a man like him, that he still had work to do. Man, we sure do. We have a lot of work to do. And I pray that your Spirit would continue to work in our minds and hearts. I pray for those people especially that are hung up in the past. They just don't shake it. They take medicine because they just live in the past. I pray you set them free today. I pray that this would be a day when they would realize, look, I got to get out of this. I got to get away from this and press on toward the goal of the prize of Jesus Christ. For anything that you've done here today, we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.